Okay. We're going to have our Bible reading now, which is taken from 1 John, chapter 5, verses 6 to 12, and then Sam will come to preach.
This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because this is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe in God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony God has given us. And this is the testimony God has given us: eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together. Shall I pray? And then we'll dive into these verses. Father God, thank you for your word that testifies about your Son. Thank you for your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who is with us, who speaks to us through your words. And Lord, would you change us today? Lord, would you bring us more and more into this life that is found in Jesus Christ? And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, my name's Sam. If we haven't met before, if you're watching online, hello to those at home. And it's good to be together. In the last week or so, I've been searching online for a holiday quite a lot. It's just something to look for, just to get away, some sort of difference. And there's perhaps particularly at the moment, but also in more normal times, there's something about being a holiday that makes us feel alive, like we have life. Be it exploring a new place, or just getting out in the countryside, or feeling the sun on your skin, or like days when it doesn't rain, it makes us feel alive. And I think that wanting for and looking for a holiday is a bit of a zoomed in experience of life. See, don't we in day to day look for this feeling of being alive, like we have life? We're restless, aren't we? And we're always looking for it. Be it like Hardfire, who sung, "We're living for the weekend," or The Greatest Showman that sings, "The call to come alive and shine your light." We look for life. I wonder for you, is it the holiday, the weekend high, perhaps the romantic feeling, or just the night where the kids have gone to bed quietly and calmly? Perhaps at the moment it's just a quiet cup of cocoa with your mum in your front room. Maybe that's what we're looking forward to, or a hug. We look for this feeling of being alive and to have life. And the huge claim, I wonder if you heard it when it was being read, in these verses that John makes, is this: life is found in Jesus. Life is found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Well, I wonder what you might think about that. Perhaps it's something you might sign up to with words, but the reality of life, does he really work? Or perhaps you might be thinking, Jesus? Really? Life? Feeling alive? Come on. Come on, Sam. You having me on? Well, wherever you are, come with me to the text. We're all looking for life. And let's see what Jesus has to say, shall we? So first, we're going to look at the first few verses, which is about the testimony about Jesus. And then we're going to consider this life that he offers. So firstly then, verses 6 to 10. The testimony about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because the question is, how do we know about Jesus? How do we know who he is and this life that he offers? How do we know it's something we can trust on and rely upon? It's not just fake news or something that's outdated and we should just throw out. Well, John points us to the three witnesses, which we're going to have a look. The first two introduced at the start of verse 6, the water and the blood. And there's been much ink spilt about what these refer to, but we're going to take what seems the best fit and what most people seem to agree upon. The water is chatting about his baptism, and the blood is chatting about his death on the cross. So firstly then, the water testifies. If you were to look in the Gospels to Jesus' baptism, you see this anointing moment. The Spirit descends on Jesus and the Father speaks, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The water testifies who Jesus is. In John's Gospel, John that wrote 1 John, John the Baptist, a different John, is there baptizing with water, and he says this: "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." You see, the water testifies, Jesus' baptism testifies about who he is. Do you see that in verse 5? Jesus is described as the Son of God. And verse 6 here, he's Jesus Christ, the Christ. The baptism says, the Father speaks, "This is my Son." That Jesus is the Son of God. And he's here, the one in flesh, the Christ, God's anointed King. The water testifies that Jesus is this God-man. There's the water and there's the blood. Secondly, the blood chatting about Jesus' death. The cross testifies that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, God's King. And it seems to be the part back then and probably still today that people struggle with. Do you see that? He did not come by water only. It's as if everyone's kind of on board with the whole water bit. But by water and blood. So we ask, how can Jesus be this prophet, this king, let alone God, if he ends up dying on a cross? What's all that about? To a Muslim friend of mine that we chat about some of this with, this was deeply offensive stuff. God on a cross is abhorrent to think about. How can that be? Yeah, haven't we seen in 1 John so far that the very mission of Jesus was all about this? We saw in chapter 4 that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We saw back in chapter 1 that the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. At the cross, Jesus is still the Son of God, God's King. He's the one the Jewish scriptures look forward to that would come. It's here that the God of love and grace, it is portrayed beautifully. The one who would take God's righteous anger upon himself, dying in our place so that we might know forgiveness. You want to know who Jesus is? Check out his baptism. Check out the cross and the third witness, the Spirit. Do you see that? And it's the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit back in John's Gospel, that he is going to come out, the Father and the Son is sending the Spirit, and he will testify about Jesus. You see, it's not just an objective historical thing we can study about Jesus, and we can study about what happened at his baptism and the cross. No, it's something we can experience now. That Spirit that is here, that testifies to us that this stuff happened, and it's good. And it's true. The Spirit seals this stuff, these testimony of the water and the blood in our hearts. It's the Spirit who co-authored these scriptures that we're reading about today. And the Spirit is here with us, testifying to us that this happens. So three witnesses: water, blood, Spirit. And this is important, not just because, as we all know, three is the magic number, but in Old Testament and New Testament stuff, you got three, and they agree, case made. That's your smackdown. In court, you're done. And here, John is saying, there are these three that testify. Verse 8, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Case made. Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. And John goes on, verse 9, he says, well, if that's the case in a human court of law, you get three and they agree, bang on, case made. If you accept human testimony, but God's is far greater. This is the testimony of God, the Father, as we saw at the baptism, that testifies about his Son, that this is the Christ, the Son of God's. You see, I wonder if you've ever wondered, how did Jesus somehow manage to fulfill these hundreds of Old Testament prophecies, even about his birth that he had no control about? How do these four different gospel writers that were writing over, I don't know, a few decades apart, and they've got their different styles and their different emphases, but how do they all kind of agree about who Jesus is? How do the apostles like John and Paul, how do they all paint a picture of Jesus, even if they're writing in different places? It's all the same. How did it end up that there were thousands of these early manuscripts and copies of the Gospels scattered all over the Mediterranean within 100 years or so of the events? How did that happen? And we've got them today. Friends, it's not just human testimony that we're relying on. This is the testimony of God, that he has spoken about his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We may trust it. Isn't it wonderful that the same Spirit that co-authored the Scriptures is here with us, speaking to our hearts, testifying to us about Jesus? What wonderful testimony we have in the Scriptures. The testimony of God, the Word of God, about his Son, Jesus Christ. We accept human testimony. We study human history. Let's accept the testimony of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And verse 12 says we got two choices. Verse 10 says we got two choices. Choice one, believe. Believe in the Son of God and accept this testimony. It's having it in us, in our hearts, that closely we're holding on to it. Or choice two, don't believe it. You've got a choice. Don't accept it. Do you see there's no sitting on the fence here? I think this is what we often do. We kind of like Jesus. We kind of like some of it. But we might just slightly erase that bit. Or we might tip X over that bit of the gospel and we might put our own bits in. He's my Jesus. And I'll make him how I want him to be. Not just the one that God the Father testifies about, but my Jesus. But do you see what you do, what verse 10 says here? By doing that, by not believing that testimony of God, you are making God out to be a liar. Because they've not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. So I want to ask this morning, what do you make of Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in his baptism and the cross and the Spirit that testify that this is the Son of God, the Christ? Will you believe in him even when those beliefs are challenged and questioned, or they're deemed unpopular or even deeply offensive? Where are those doubts, those niggles that it makes you think, I'm not quite sure about this? It's right to point them out, isn't it? To think about them. And don't just leave them there, but dig in. Ask them out. I would love to speak to you about that, if that's you. The testimony of the water, the blood, and the Spirit, the testimony of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And who Jesus is matters because of what we're about to look at now. Can this claim that in him is life be true? So first, the testimony. Second, the life that Jesus offers. What do we see about this life, this eternal life? Well, three things. I'm going to do the first two very briefly, and then we'll camp down in the third one for quite a while, but not too well. Don't worry. First, life is a gift from God. Do you see that? Verse 11. God has given us eternal life. It's not a prize that you might win, like running a race. It's not a rank, like in the army, that we might get promoted to. It's not a standard that we're capable of living up to. It's a gift. And it's a gift that's undeserved. Do you notice that this morning? people who reject him and ignore him and sin against him, God gives eternal life to you as a gift. Ephesians 2 verse 8 famously says, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Eternal life is a gift. Second, where is it found? It's found in Christ. Do you see that? God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. How do we get it? Well, it's through the Son. By believing in him and living in him. Life is found in Jesus. What is life, as Chris asked at the start? It's living in and with Jesus. And do you see it's Jesus alone? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Big claim John is making. It's why the testimony about Jesus matters so much. Gift of life is found in Jesus alone. It's a gift that's found in Christ. And thirdly, and we'll think about it a bit more now. This gift of life is a here and now thing, not just an eternity thing. Okay? Did you see that? Because I wonder if this is where we think differently. Because the Christian life is portrayed as this get out of hell free card. It's only got any value when you're on death's door or you're at a funeral. You want life now? Well, let's run from Jesus. He's not going to give us life. But then we'll cash it in just in time, just in case some of it might be true. That's certainly how I used to think, and I wonder if that's you too. Yet John's claim is having Jesus now, believing in him now, following him, having him in your life. That is life. Receiving Jesus now is life. Life in the Son. Well, what does John mean? At the end of John's Gospel, John famously writes this. These things are written, this Gospel has been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, we've been thinking about that. And by believing, you may have life. Life in his name. Believe in Jesus, you may have life. Not when you die, but now. Well, what might that mean? I want us to consider, as we draw to a close, four circumstances you might be in now. And what difference might Jesus make? Life in him make? And there are four situations you meet as you walk through John's Gospel. So firstly then, in Jesus is life when we're confronted with our sin. You see, in life we like to justify ourselves, right? But yet, we're very aware of the skeletons in the closets, the regrets, the failings, our past. We like to think we're right. Yet if we take the moment to be honest, we realise that stuff in the past, that stuff in our life now we're not proud of. And in John's Gospel, we read of Jesus coming so that those in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Life. You see, our natural state, when we're turning from Jesus, is that of perishing. That of dying. That of facing God's wrath and judgment, which leads to death and hell. But Jesus came, this gift, life in him, to give us new life in him. So perhaps today you're aware of your shortcomings. Your past has become face to face. You're confronted with it. Friends, in Jesus is life. Life knowing forgiveness now and that for eternity we will be with him. I don't know about you, but in our society at the moment, we're quick to judge. There's no room for forgiveness to something you might have tweeted 15 years ago, or let alone said or done years and years ago. Maybe you feel that in your family. Or you feel that as you look out. In Jesus is life. Forgiveness can be found. Turn to him and find life in him. Second, Jesus is life when we're dissatisfied. Well, I shared with you about my longing for a holiday at the start. We're restless. We seek life. It feels often to me like chasing the end of the rainbow. You get to where you think it is. And it's sadly moved on. That finding life. Well, in John's Gospel, we read of Jesus meeting a disgraced woman who's looked for life in men. And what does he say? Come to me. Whoever drinks the water I offer them will never thirst. Later, he says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm the bread of life. In Jesus, there's life, where our spiritual hunger and thirst is satisfied. How? Well, when we have Jesus, we know the one who made us. We know his acceptance and love for us that we crave is found in him. We follow his ways because in them they are life. Jesus is life when we're dissatisfied. Third, Jesus is life when we look for truth. I don't know about you, but it can be confusing what to believe at times. What's right? What's wrong? Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus is life. Walking his ways and the ways of God. They might seem a bit killjoy in the instant. They might seem slightly repressive on you at that moment, but they're paths of light that lead to life. Jesus' ways are your Nana's roast dinner compared to the McDonald's 99 cheeseburger, right? It's quicker to get the cheeseburger. But what's good for us? What's tasty for us? What leads to life? Well, surely it's the Nana's roast. I'm so glad for those that told me about Jesus when I was 16 or 17. I dare to think what mess of life I would have made if I didn't have his ways to follow. I've already made quite a mess of life, but I dare to think how much more of a mess of life if I just said what I thought was true at the time rather than sought to follow him. Life and truth is found in Jesus, the light of the world. So I ask, what's the pressing point for you which makes you doubt this? Is it what Jesus says about sex or money? Perhaps power and sin? Jesus' words might not be in vogue right now, but they're true and they lead to life. He is the light of the world. And fourth and finally, Jesus is life when death is close. Because where do we turn when we're faced with death? Be it our own impending or that of loved ones around us. Well, Jesus in John's Gospel say these most precious of words. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. In Jesus is life. That's eternal life for us to look forward to then. But knowing this is life now. One of the greatest testimonies to this is some of the funerals I've been at this church over the last few years. It's not just been a hopeful optimism or just the celebration of what someone might have done. But no, there's been life. Why? Because we have this hope that in Jesus there is life. Because he rose from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, and those who believe in him will live. That light shines into the moments of deepest despair and anguish and darkness. We can know life now, even when death feels close. So wherever you are this morning, faced with your sin, feeling dissatisfaction, not sure what truth to follow, or perhaps death is close, turn to Jesus. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is life. Amen? Because, frankly, whatever choice have you got? Where else could you turn that offers this life? Surely nowhere. Who else knows you so wonderfully? Who else loves you and laid down their life for you? Who else has dealt with the the threat of our impending death? Where else is there truth that you can actually trust in? Come to Jesus today. The one the water, the blood, and the Spirit testify to. The one who's the Son of God, the Christ. The one by whom, in believing in, we may have life. Turn back to Jesus. Perhaps in this run-up to Easter, you might want to read through John's Gospel and look at all those times he chats about life. It's literally every page. And consider what life in Jesus might look like at this time. So if it's for the first time, or the many, many time, turn back to him today. Because in Jesus there is life. Life now, and hope for eternal life to come. And coming back to him, it is a turning around from these ways I've walked, from these my ways of finding life, to repenting, to say sorry, and turning and living his way. Whoever has the Son has life. Amen? Let's just take a moment for you quietly and just think, where do I need to turn back and find life in Jesus today? And then after a moment or so, I'm going to pray. Okay, so just take time to reflect on that. Father, we praise you for the testimony of the scriptures, your baptism of the cross of the Spirit, that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And thank you, Lord, that in you, believing in you, walking with you, there is life. Lord, we're sorry for ways we've sought this without you. And Lord, we turn back to you now. Help us to walk with you, to trust you, and that life you offer us in and through Jesus Christ. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.